Turn over, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What do we see in this verse? What we see is that any gift that God gives to us, it's good and it's perfect. Means that there is no flaw. Means that whether you want it or not, it's yours. It's amazing how many people don't seem to want God's gifts. And it says that there is no variableness with Him. Now, very briefly, what this means is He's not going to change the way He operates. So, He's up in heaven saying, every good and every perfect gift comes from Me. I give you every good and every perfect gift. You can give each other gifts, but they cannot measure up to what I can give you. And I'm not going to change this. The way that I do this is permanent. So you can try to obtain My gifts by other ways, but it won't work. I give you what I want you to have, and there are ways that I give it to you, and that's just the way it is. Well, what do some people tell us? If we want to get it good from God, we got to put it good in the plate, right? And it says here there's neither shadow of turning with Him. Basically, what this is telling us is that God operates a certain way, and that's it. You're not going to change Him, so therefore, who needs to change? Us. If there's anything in us that needs to change, it's us that needs to change, because God is the same. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. Now let's find out how this works. Look over in Romans. Romans chapter 8. And it says here beginning in verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So in verse 15, it's saying, look, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received the nature of God. And because you received the nature of God, you're able to cry out, Abba, Father. He's your Father. You're His offspring. He has birthed you, literally, birthed you spiritually. Physically, you can thank Mom and Dad on earth for that body you have, whether you like it or not. You know, they gave it to you. Sometimes we do good things with it, and other times we don't. But our spirit has been given to us from God. And therefore, we can cry, you truly are My Father. I truly have been birthed of You. I have no other Father but You. You are it. Then in verse 16, He says, if this truth is not enough for you in and of itself, the Holy Spirit has a responsibility to bear witness with your spirit, the one that you received from the Father, that you are the offspring or the children of God, that you belong to Him, that He has birthed you into existence. And what's amazing is that the spiritual birth is a whole lot less painful than the physical birth. Now, I don't know, I've never been through the physical birth, but you ladies who have been through the physical birth, no matter how much pain you didn't feel, because I've heard of some women just, you know, it just was a very easy birth. You still had discomfort, all right? I mean, you still went through some kind of discomfort in that birthing process. But in the spiritual birthing process, there is no discomfort. That's why it's so difficult for us to figure out that we've been born again sometimes.
I just don't feel saved.
Well, it's not about what you feel. It's about what you believe.
Yes, but I felt saved yesterday, but I don't feel saved today.
What happened? I must have had a bad dream and lost my salvation. No, you didn't have a bad dream and lose your salvation. You're just having an emotional day, all right? But the Holy Spirit has been sent in part to bear witness with your spirit, to confirm to you that you are the children of God. Now, this is one reason why it's a good idea to spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because one of the things He'll do for you is confirm to you you're born again. Now, okay? Anytime somebody comes up to you and says, I just don't feel like I'm born again anymore, what are they telling you? They're not spending enough time with the Holy Spirit. Because what He's going to do is bear witness with your spirit. So the more time you spend with Him, the more bearing witness He's able to do. To confirm to you, you're God's child. You belong to Him. He birthed you. You're His. And if children, verse 17. Now look at this. And if children, then heirs. What kind of heirs? Heirs of God Himself. You're not an heir of an earthly thing. You're an heir of an eternal God. You are God's heir, all right? How many of you, I heard a story here recently, not too long ago, how that there was a mother in a family died, or a grandmother, depending upon, you know, your position in that family, or it could have been your sister or whatever. But this lady died in this family, and there was so much stink going on in this family about who got what, that the one daughter who had been living with the mother for a number of years had to lay the law down, lock up the house, and tell certain family members they were not allowed in the house. Because there was great concern among certain family members that if this other bunch of the family got in that house, they were just going to start taking that. They had already talked about what they were going to take once they got in the house. And it just a big mess, all kinds of fussing and all this kind of stuff, because they all were hoping to get something when, you know, mom, sister, grandma died. They're all hoping to get an inheritance. Now, there's a problem with this story, though. This lady didn't have squat. I mean, you know, maybe a Timex alarm clock in the bedroom. You know, I don't. Maybe they wanted her toothbrush or something. I don't know. Maybe her Fix-A-Dent. I don't know what they wanted. But she didn't have anything worth fighting over. To them, it was worth fighting over. So we're not talking about this grand, huge, big inheritance. But every one of us, let's be honest. If a relative dies, even for a fleeting instant, the thought might pass through our mind, I wonder if I've inherited anything. I wonder if, when Kathy's dad passed away, there was only one thing I asked for, a coffee mug. It was this Starbucks coffee mug that we had purchased for him, you know, a few years ago, like at Christmas or something. I just thought it was a cool mug. And I said, look, if nobody else wants it, I wouldn't mind having that. You know what I've got at home now? That coffee mug. I'm a happy camper. Hallelujah. But, you know, the fleeting thought goes through our minds for a moment. I wonder if, you know, maybe I'll inherit something. You know how it goes. And some people get really, really greedy with this. But here, this is telling us you are an heir of God. Now, think with me. What did God create? What have you inherited? Did God create the universe? Sure enough. What have you inherited? Now, that sounds so abstract, doesn't it?
You mean I own Jupiter?
No, I've got Jupiter. You can have Pluto. I ate Mars. People listening to this in other countries say, what is he talking about? He ate Mars. Mars is the name of a candy bar. Now, okay, let me clarify just for a moment. See, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that God created this universe and all these planets. Now, if in Genesis chapter 1, if there had been no Genesis chapter 3, no sin, no death, nobody ever dies, in 6,000 years, how many human beings would be alive right now? Remember, no wars, no sickness, no babies born prematurely and dying, nothing. No abortions, nothing. Nobody dies. God said, be fruitful. Well, if nobody dies, guess what? You're going to be fruitful. Very fruitful. And if you take a look in Genesis and you read the history of some of those people, they're having babies into their hundreds. And not just hundreds of babies. I mean, they're aged like 200, 300, 400 years old, Abraham and Sarah. I mean, they're just 100 years old having babies. And then after Sarah dies, Abraham has more. Fruitful. Hallelujah. So now if nobody dies, how many billions, hundreds of billions of people would exist? What do you think all those planets out there are for? Or what was their original intention?
Well, how would we get there?
Give me a break. How do I know? Kirk would beam us up or something. I don't know. Scotty. Hey, Captain. I don't know. But somehow, in a way that we can't imagine because there's so much corruption in the world. But see, you've got to understand, this universe was created for us. All the planets were created for a purpose. For a purpose. God doesn't waste His time on anything. There's always a purpose. Now, we have inherited from God everything He's made available. Well, over in James it says every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. We could talk about these gifts later on. But he says, you're an heir of God. And then it says here, and joint heirs, or heirs of equality with Christ. What's it say over there in Philippians 4? My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Right? So I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. So I've inherited everything God's made available. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. So whatever you think Jesus has inherited, I've inherited. I've inherited His position with God as a son. Now, I'm not deity and never will be, and I won't be the fourth person of the Godhead. But I am seated with Him, am I not? See this? So he says, look, you're an heir of God. You're a joint heir here with Jesus Christ. Look in verse 32. It says, well, in verse 31, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes we forget about this, that God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can a devil of sickness be against us? In other words, if God is for us, who can rise up above us and take His place? And it says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things what? What do you need? Well, I need, okay, that's part of your all things. Everything that God has, He's made available to us. We've inherited it through Jesus Christ. Now, the problem we have is kind of twofold. Number one, it's accepting this. And number two, it's appropriating it. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people, because they see things, how can I say this? They look at things from a natural standpoint instead of a spiritual standpoint, and so therefore they approach everything from a natural standpoint. And if they can't understand it from their natural position, then they don't want to accept it. Healing's not for today. Why not? Well, because, you know, my body is not perfect. Well, it's going to be perfect, but in the meantime, you have access to healing. Well, why? Well, where is it then? Where is it? Why hasn't it manifested? We all have those kind of questions. Well, the answers are here in Scripture. But the thing is, God has given to us every good and perfect gift. It comes from Him, and we have inherited everything from God. We are an heir of God. You're an heir of the Creator of the universe. Think about this. Okay, now with that in mind, look over in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. See, just what I've shared with you before in these passages, the one from James and the one from Romans, If we would just grasp the fullness of these passages, a lot of the things that we question God about, we wouldn't be questioning God about because we'd have it settled in our hearts. We're heirs of God. But there are a lot of Christians that want to complain about God to God because they don't believe that God is as good as the Bible says He is. Now let's look here. In Psalm chapter 103, look at verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Now somebody's talking to themselves here. You see this? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." You know, sometimes people want to send you to a therapist for talking to yourself. This is one time where it's permissible. Bless the Lord. Okay, now think just for a second. Why would I have to tell myself to bless the Lord if myself was already blessing the Lord? See, I don't have to tell myself to stand up right now because myself is standing up. See this? You don't have to tell yourself to sit because yourself is sitting. So if I were to stand here and say, "Stand up, O my soul, and all that is within me," you'd say, "He's weird." Or here, he's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Why would you tell yourself to do that if you were already doing it? But if you weren't doing it, if there was something working against you to try to keep you from doing it, then you kind of have to shake the dust off and come to your spiritual senses and say, "Wait a minute, wait, hold on. No. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Bless, you hear me? Me, are you listening to me? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." This is a self-instruction. In other words, you shouldn't need somebody else to stand up in front of you during a church service and say, "Okay, now it's time to praise the Lord." Oh, all right, let's get it over. Come on, folks, everybody stand up. It's time to worship Jesus. Again, we did this last week. Come on. You shouldn't need somebody. You shouldn't need the instruction to bless the Lord. You shouldn't need it. Here, see, you can tell yourself. You know what it's like. You come in on Sundays and you're not in a good mood. You don't like too many people today. You hope the sermon's short. Fat chance. You just want to get done and get out. You know, you came in, you punched the spiritual time clock. Okay, God, I'm here. Mark it down. And then, you know, here comes the praise team and they start playing. We singing that song again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. I hope we don't sing the... Oh, we're singing that one too. Gee whiz, I don't like that song. Can't stand those minor keys. Ugh. Everybody has days like that. You don't want to admit it, so I'm admitting it for you. It says yes. Yeah, it's really bad when you're on the praise team and you're having a day like that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I don't care. I don't feel like it. I don't care. Me? Are you listening to me? This is a self-instruction. So if you don't bless the Lord, when you have the opportunity to bless the Lord, what's that say about you? That you're not giving yourself a self-instruction. You're letting your soul override. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Instead of your spirit taking control, you're letting your soul take control. You're letting your emotions tell you what you will and will not do. Let me tell you something. If emotions had reigned in the life of Jesus, He wouldn't have gone to that cross. No human being in his right mind wants to go through what he went through. But he rose up and he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He says, "I have come to do this. I'm going to accomplish it." And he hung on that cross and went so far as to say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Emotions did not lead Jesus to the cross. It was obedience to the will of the Father. That's what led him to the cross. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is a self-instruction. It is a personal decision. Bless the Lord, O I choose, I will do this. I choose to bless the Lord, O my soul. I choose to do this. It's something that I choose to want to do. You see, listen, you're not going to feel like blessing the Lord all the time. This is why it has to be a personal decision to inflict pain on your emotions. Because there are times you don't want to. There are times you don't feel like it. You know how to get past that? Seriously, you know how to get past the times of not feeling like you want to worship? Worship. Force yourself to do it. Because what happens is when you make that decision to control yourself by your spirit as opposed to letting your soul control your spirit, and you begin telling yourself, I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship, and I don't care what I feel like. Yeah, you know, this hurts, that aches, and I'm not in a good mood. But I'm going to force myself to do this. And what's going to happen over time if you do this? If you do it, and you have, remember, personal decision, self-instruction, you have to want to do it. You have to force yourself to do this. If you do, eventually the time will come, you'll learn how to do it without feeling like you have to force yourself to do it. You'll just do it. See, we've had a lot of prophecies over the years concerning worship. And there are a lot of people that haven't taken some of these prophecies to heart. We've had, and I'm not going to even begin to try and rehash these prophecies, but we've had a lot of words from God about the value and the need and the necessity for worship. And a lot of people haven't applied these to your life. Now, I'm just telling you right now. If you've got questions about worship and more, you want more detail about it, I've got two teaching series about worship. Get those teaching series and listen to those series and get into the Word of God and follow along, because I'm telling you right now, you listen, I'm going to make this statement. If you want to fuss with me about it, listen to the series first and then come back and fuss with me about it. If you do not learn how to worship and praise God, if you don't learn to do this, you are going to miss out on healings. You're going to miss out on blessings. You're going to miss out on anointing. You're going to miss out on glory. You're going to miss out on a great and mighty move that God can do in your life because you are refusing to acknowledge who He is in your life. Now I'm telling you, this is thus saith the Lord. He's not going to change. There's no variableness with Him. And He's not going to change the way He operates. And if He gives us instructions in His Word about worship and what worship will do for us, He's not going to say, well, okay, you know, but for you, I'll make an exception because you know how you are. You weren't raised to worship. You weren't raised to praise. You were raised in a religious situation where they told you about my Son Jesus Christ that you needed to be born again. But beyond that, as far as the worship and the praise and all this is concerned, you really didn't understand that. And plus, I know your personality. You're one of those kind of quiet types, those kind of reserved types. And you got all that pride on the inside of you. So I'm going to make an exception for you. You'd rather worship yourself than me.
But I don't do that.
Yeah, you do. Because when you come into a church like this where you're free to worship and you don't. Now, there's some churches that throw you out if you worship. I know that. We're not in one of those churches. We're here. And if you don't take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you to praise and worship the Lord, you're worshiping yourself. Listen. You want to know who's going to get promoted in the kingdom of God? The praisers and the worshipers. Now, you can promote yourself. But if you don't learn how to praise and worship, you're not going to get the godly kind of promotion that God wants to exercise in your life to take you further into the call that He has for you. This bless the Lord, O my soul, it supersedes feelings. If you've got a bookmark, leave it here in Psalm 103 and turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to see this one verse. Actually, let's look at more than one. Beginning in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. This is talking about His crucifixion outside the city gates of Jerusalem. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now let me just stop right there. I'm not going to go off on a rabbit trail on this one. These three verses, 12, 13, and 14, are a tremendously powerful revelation about how we are not under the law, but under grace.
Well, explain it to me.
That's the Sunday morning series. By Him, therefore, let us... Now, by Him, therefore, not by anything else. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He calls it the sacrifice of praise. Okay, now, thinking of that word sacrifice, just as it appears here, it's those times where you don't feel like it. It's those times where the emotions, where you come in here and you know problems are following you in. He says the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. That means something's got to be coming out or there's no fruit. You understand this? I worship God in silence. Not according to this verse. I mean, yeah, you can tell God how much you love Him and worship Him. You know, I understand that. You can do that. But here it's saying, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I mean, how else are you going to paint this? It's talking about words that come forth, praising Him, singing His worship. And so that's what this is telling us. So he says, look, we need to offer the fruit of our lips, praise and worship unto Him. Even if it comes out, even if it becomes like a sacrifice, meaning we have to take control of our soul and say, soul, you're going to bow the knee and you're going to do this. I worship. Jesus, I praise Your name and I glorify You. Now look back over in Psalm 103. So this is a self-instruction. It's a personal decision and it supersedes feelings. You got to get past that. The feelings of self-consciousness and all this. See, I've talked about these things before. And I pretty much need to resign myself that, you know, teachings on worship are going to just every now and then they're going to come up. But one thing you need to understand is this. When God ministers like this about praise and worship, everybody who hears this is accountable to do it.
I don't believe that.
Look, unto whom much is given, much is required. And when God gives us a revelation of what praise and worship will do and we don't do it, we're accountable for this. This word bless comes from a Hebrew word that means to bend the knee, to kneel down, to praise. And in ancient customs, if you go back and you read in the Old Testament, sometimes it talks about that somebody bowed before the king. Well, that's an act of reverence. And they were hoping to get something from the king. You know, they bow before the old great king, you know, may thy throne reign forever, you know, whatever they said. And then, you know, would you do this for me? So in other words, they were humbling themselves before the king. They were bowing before him, hoping to get a blessing from him. And this word blessed, it also means a voluntary act of humility. Remember, bless the Lord, O my soul. I will. You do it. You will do what I say to you. It is a voluntary act of humility, meaning you're choosing to do this. Nobody is forcing you to do it. God's not going to force you to do this. You have to choose to do it. It is a voluntary act of humility. Look in James chapter 4. We'll be coming back here to Psalm 103. But look in James chapter 4. And it says here in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You want to be exalted by God? You humble yourself before God. Humbling yourself before God doesn't mean that you speak humbly. Everybody can talk about God and how great He is and how much they love Him. Everybody can talk about what a great God and how they love being born again. They love Jesus with all their heart and so on and so forth. Everybody knows Christian speak. You know what I'm talking about? We can do it. Where it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. All right, let me ask you a question. How often can God see you? So this means when you're in church, when you're away from church, you are bowing the knee of your life to him in his lordship. And it says, he shall lift you up, or he shall exalt you. He shall promote you. Look over, it's a very similar verse, 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But before that, look what happens if you don't. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God does what? It says, he resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So therefore, you want grace? No problem. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resists the proud. You know what this word resist means? This word, the image of this word resist? It's of somebody who's trying to make progress, and they're just moving right along, and somebody else steps in front of them and stops their progress. Says, you're not going any further. Stop right here. This is saying that God resists the proud. He'll put a stop real fast to what you think you're doing. For example, you're not getting promoted by God in your ministry? You got a choice. Humble yourselves and do it God's way, or promote yourself. It's totally up to you. And I can tell you one thing. I have met a lot of preachers who have decided to promote themselves. Well, bless God, I'll do this because I'm serving God. This is what I'm doing, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. No, you're not doing it God's way. How much of God have we missed because we just won't worship? Because we just won't praise. They'll see me. Who? The people in the church. Have you considered they need to? Have you considered that there are people in the church that will be influenced by your decision to worship God? Have you considered that people look at you out of respect? Will they worship God? Will they, are they going to do this? No. They're not doing it. The people on the platform, they have to. I mean, that's their job. And the pastor, well, him too. And all the brown nosers, them too. How much healing have we missed? How many blessings, how many financial blessings have people missed in life because they just won't worship? It says he resists the proud. See, again, when you're in a church where the doors are open for praise and worship to take place and you don't do it, man, that's pride. You can say what you want, call it what you want. Well, I had a cold this week. Oh, yeah, well, what about the other 10 years worth of weeks? It's pride. It's you exalting yourself. Well, it says here, look, God's resisting that pride. A lot of, listen, I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of people that want to know how come God is not using them better and more in ministry and in their calling. It's because he's waiting for you to deal, for you to humble yourself. Now, notice it says here, under the mighty hand of God. Now, remember, this word bless comes from a Hebrew word that means about to kneel. Now, one of the customs was whenever the king wanted to speak his blessings over a person, that person would be kneeling in front of him and he would lay his hand on that person and speak his blessings. If you want an example of that, Jacob laid his hands on the two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Yeah. Laid his hands on, and remember Joseph said, no, you got your hands wrong. He says, no, my hands are where they are. And he spoke blessings over those boys. Remember that? Now it says here, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Meaning, his hand's right here. It's not up here. It's here. Waist level, call it, okay? That means you've got to bow down if you want his hand of blessing upon you. And when you bow down, might as well worship. You're already down there. The fruit of your lips might as well cut loose and praise him. Now look back over here in Psalms. Psalm 103. See, true humility before God results in submission to godly authority. Not just in the realm of the natural, but also to the authority of God. If we say He's the Lord of our life, He needs to be the Lord of our life. Am I there? Have I reached that point where every part of my life is under His lordship? No, not yet. But there's more under His mighty hand than what used to be. And there's more coming. I'm learning more and more what it means to submit in that area. Well, in you know, my whole life, to submit. I'm learning. I'm understanding more about what I'm holding back and what I need to yield over to Him. And where it says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And it says, bless His holy name. This is a recognition of His superior standing, and it's also a declaration of His lordship. Bless His holy name. He is superior to me. He's the name above all names. He is everything I need. He's everything to me that I want. He's everything that I could ever hope for. Bless the Lord. Oh, recognize Him, soul, as your God. Feelings, you are not my Lord. Emotions, you are not my Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know, we have these times here of what we call free worship, where, you know, it's not the words on the screen and, you know, the instruments or just, you know, the players are just worshiping the Lord. No discernible tune. And we have that opportunity just to bless God. I worship You, Jesus. I praise Your holy name. You are everything to me, Lord. We have this opportunity to do this. You know, I've talked about this before, and so many people just clam up. That's pride. It's pride. Because if you can sing those songs that are on the screen and you can't or won't enter into a time of free worship, that's pride. And it stinks before God. Pride goeth before destruction. Have you ever considered that maybe the pride of not worshiping Him when you have the opportunity to do so in a church that allows it? Have you ever considered the fact that your body is hurting and sick and diseased and about ready to keel over because destruction is setting in as a result of your pride in refusing to worship Jesus? These are things a lot of people don't want to think about. Who wants to say, yeah, I've got pride. Ha-ha. I'm full of me. Nobody wants to say that. But you know, if the evidence is there, what other assumption can you make? And you know, we've talked in the past. I've taught on, you know, the lifting up of the hands and your voice, singing in the Spirit. I mean, this has all been covered in the past. Well, look at the second verse. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Notice there's a repetition here. Now, here's what's interesting. When there is repetition like this in Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, when something is repeated like this, it means that there is a strong emphasis on this. You know, for example, verily, verily, I say unto you. In other words, listen to me and listen to me now, because I say unto you, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Soul, I'm going to say it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is an order. This is not a request. I remember one time I was in a service and Dave Roberson, there's a lady, I mean, this lady, there were some devils, okay? And she came up front, and he was ministering to other people, and she came up, and he was ministering to her, and he just, you know, come out in Jesus' name. You leave her, and down she goes on the floor, and she starts making some weird sounds. And he stands over her and looks down and says, that was not a request. And he turned and walked off. Devil came out. This here in Psalm 103 is not a request. It is a command. I am commanding myself to do it. And if yourself won't do it, when you command yourself, it's in rebellion. Take authority. Who's in charge here? Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So He gives this repetition, this additional order. There's an emphasis to do this. And then it says, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. In other words, this isn't just a matter of me ordering you to bless and praise and worship the Lord and to humble yourself before Him. But I'm also telling you, don't you get your eyes off of what He's done for you. Don't you forget what He's made available to you. Put it another way, don't you forget every good and perfect gift that He's made available to you. Don't you forget that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Don't you forget this, you hear me? Because if you forget it, you will lose focus on who you are in Christ. If you, and now here's what's sad. A lot of preachers, churches, they teach you to forget His benefits.
That's not for today.
They teach you to forget the benefits. This word benefits, it means service, recompense, reward, that which He has given. Remember over there in Romans 8:32, He didn't spare His Son, but with Him He has given us all things. How did He give them to us? Freely. It's your inheritance. In other words, paraphrase Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but gave Him up to be the sacrifice for us, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all benefits? Forget not His benefits. This phrase, forget not, it is an unmistakable instruction. Forget not His benefits. All right, how many of you ever had kids? You told your kids to do something, and then you look at them and you add on, don't you forget this. Don't you forget I told you this. Don't you forget to clean your room. Don't you forget to feed the dog. Don't you forget to brush your teeth, to wash behind your ears. Don't you forget, don't you forget it, right? That's what we have here. Don't you forget His benefits. You hear me? Don't you forget His benefits. In other words, God is saying, don't forget what I have done for you. Now let me point something out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. In other words, there is a connection between worship in spirit and truth for us as believers and remembering His benefits. Why is that? God inhabits the praises of who? Us. Right? Now, if we've inherited everything from God and He's inhabiting those times when we praise Him and we worship Him, what's going to happen? His presence will cause us to be more conscious of what He has done for us and what He has made available to us and the benefits that He has given to us. See, this is why worship is so valuable. Okay, all this thing about worship that I talk about, listen, I've been there and I've done that as far as not wanting to worship. I know what it's like to be raised to sing hymns but not to worship. I know what it's like to be in churches, to be in a church where there was the freedom to worship God with my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, where the freedom was there for the free worship and to sing in the Spirit and to sing with the understanding. I know what it's like to be in that kind of situation and not do it because I was full of me. It was pride. I was self-conscious. Now let that term sink in. When you are God-conscious, you will not be self-conscious. When you are self-conscious, you're concerned about self. When you are God-conscious, you don't care about self. All you want to do is be focused and concentrate on Him. Listen, when you're God-conscious, it's easy to worship Him. I didn't want to. I didn't want to raise my hands. I didn't want to raise my voice. I didn't want to sing with the Spirit. I didn't want to sing with the understanding. I did not want to do free worship. I didn't want to do any of that. I would sing the words up there on that screen, but don't push it beyond that. I'm happy with the words on the screen. And then they'd get into that free worship stuff. some people actually went so far. The hand clap thing to the beat of the music was okay with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I could do that. Okay, I'm all right with that. We can do that. All right, I'll let that slide by.
But then people started lifting their hands and stuff like that, you know, just, I just couldn't do that. Or at least I didn't think I could. Didn't want to.
Because I'm cool.
You're laughing. And my wife's laughing the hardest. Oh, glory to God. If I won't humble myself, she will. But I didn't want to. But I made a decision one day to do it. And I did it. And at first it was uncomfortable. Because I felt like everybody was looking at me. When I was pastoring and leading praise and worship, they were. But you know what? You've got to get over yourself. You're just going to have to get over yourself. You're going to have to face it. Look, if you don't praise Him and you don't worship Him, if you don't become God-conscious as opposed to self-conscious, if you don't get to that place where you do it, man, forget the other people in the church. Who cares who's sitting next to you? Do it. Just do it. Quit being a jerk.
Now, how can you say that?
It was easy. Quit being a jerk. See how easy that is? Now, I'm not saying that to make anybody mad. It's amazing how if you can get people to laugh, you can say all kinds of things about them. I'm not saying that to make somebody mad, but think about this. Try to look at this from God's perspective. You know, I sent my son down there to die for you. If you hadn't done that, you'd have gone to hell. Or you'd have had to live under the law. I sent my son down there to do this work for you because you couldn't do it for yourself. Now he's completed this work. He's up here with me. I sent the Holy Spirit. I've done all this for you. And I have given to you a revelation in my word that you can have miracles take place in your life during praise and worship. We've had people in this congregation during praise and worship, healings have manifested in their bodies during the praise and worship. And God says, you know, I've given you a revelation. I've told you that if you will begin to praise me, begin to worship me, that I will fill the place where you are with my presence. I'll do this for you. I've told you it's okay to sing with the Spirit and to sing with the understanding. I've given you these instructions. It's right here in my word. And I'm your God. You know, I'm your Father. Why don't you do this? In the natural, you're a jerk. I mean, I love you. How many of you got, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have had kids that were jerks? Now, don't raise your hands. This is video. We don't want to sell. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Why is that boy acting like such a jerk? Well, God up in heaven, if he talks like us, he's saying, why is my son acting like such a jerk? Now, he knows you're not literally that. Glory. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, why is it so hard for some people just like in the Bible? And God even tells you how you can do it. I mean, through David, he prophesied about praise and worship. You know, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, look, do this, okay? Well, my arms get tired. Okay, then one at a time, all right? You know, rotate. One rest, the other raises. Or down, let them rest, put them back up. This isn't law and it's not legalism. We're under grace. But the thing is, when you humble yourself, you begin accessing more of His grace. And part of humbling yourself is to praise Him and to worship Him. Now look, I think I shared this before. I'm pretty sure I did. But one of the things that God just really ministered to me is this, Jim, it doesn't matter how much that I give you to give people about praise and worship, you are just going to have to settle it that there are some folks in your own church that will probably live and die and will not worship me. And they're going to stay just like they are. The change is not going to take place because spiritual change is not just based on praying in tongues and confessing the Word of God, but it's also based on worship. We'll talk about fasting later. It's also based on worship. And we're expecting God to do all these great things for us and to move on us, to promote us, and put manifestations of this, that, and the other. And we have had moves of God. And we, you know, individually, we've experienced great things. But how much have we missed
Because we have not followed this instruction here in these first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm not going to put up with anything else. Bless Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. Just do it. But my husband, he will look at me and he doesn't like it when I do that. And he died on the cross for you, right? It was His blood that was shed for your sins, right? Well, he'll yell at me in the car. Well, cast the devil out of him. After your part, okay? After your part. We don't want him losing control down the highway here. Forget not all of His benefits. You know, the Bible says the man that finds a wife finds a good thing. Praise God. You got problems in your marriage? Start confessing that one. I have found a good thing. I have found a good thing. Yes, I have found a good thing.
I can't confess that.
Wait a minute. Now think about what. Now think with me. If you are confessing, God says, I have found a wife and I have found a good thing. I have found a good. Well, you are confessing the goodness of God over that wife. So if that wife is a dope, you're confessing good. You see what I'm saying here? Anyway, back to worship. I won't charge extra for that little thing. It's not a difficult thing. See, here's how I look at it with me. I am not today what I used to be when it comes to praise and worship. What you see now is the result of what I chose to do years ago. When I stand up here, I don't just do this because I'm the pastor. Go with me sometime to another church where worship is permissible. I will join right in. I'll do the same. From the back row, I'll do the same thing that I do up front. Because I want to, see? And what happened is I forced myself to start doing this. And I had to force myself to do it. But the more I forced myself to do it, the more I got over the self-consciousness. There were some times I raised my hands more than other times. There are some times where it's just, you know, like one hand halfway up. There are sometimes no hand where I just, you know, I forced myself to do this. And over time, what was in my spirit began dominating my soul more and more. To where now, I am not ashamed to stand up and I worship you, Jesus, I praise your name. You don't like it, huh? Sorry. Start your own church. Tell people don't do it. I'm not embarrassed anymore to do that. If I sense that I need to be conscious, if there are visitors, I try to be sensitive to the Spirit when it comes to singing in the Spirit. Because I don't want people, you know, screaming and running out the door before they have a chance to be touched by God. You understand what I mean? So I try to be sensitive to the Spirit in that. But when I sense that liberty in here, I mean, I do it. I lift my hands. I glorify God. I raise my voice. And it's not because I'm the pastor. It's because that's what I do. I went from not wanting to forcing myself to do it because I have a revelation of what it would do for me, to doing it and experiencing more and more of what it does. And there's more to experience. All I have to do is worship. Now, here's the thing. He says here, he gives us these instructions, these illustrations, tell yourself to do this. And then he says, and forget not all His benefits. Now, we're not going to get into this tonight. This is the first part of this series. Starting in verse 3 is when he starts going through these benefits. And I'm telling you right now, from verse 3 on, there are a bunch of benefits that he lists that churches today do not want to believe. Flat out will tell you it's not for today. Will keep you away from it. Will preach you into condemnation as opposed to the freedom that these benefits afford unto you. And I'm looking forward to getting into this more and more. But you'll notice that the full acknowledgement, recognition, and experience of these benefits starts with bless the Lord, O my soul. One of the things the Lord told me is that worship helps to condition your spirit for a greater outpouring of God's glory. Now, fasting does a lot on that. We've taught on the fasting aspect of that. But he said worship will help to condition your spirit for a greater outpouring of God's glory. And listen, when you have that outpouring of His glory, trust me, you're going to have deliverance, you're going to have healings, you're going to have miracles. I mean, you name it, it's going to happen. Because it's God's glory that is manifesting. It rises up within, fills within, pours without, and manifests in people's lives. So when it comes to these benefits, we're going to get into this later on. But a key in this is to make yourself worship the Lord. After all, He is worth it. And He deserves it. Amen.